You know, it's crazy. Jesus, you know, was here 2,000 years ago. And as we look around today, just from then till now, how many of us, as we've seen in this year, people still need a Savior? How many of us, as we've watched TV this year, and we have watched TV and TV, and we've been outside, we just realize, man, we still desperately as people, there's so many who need the Savior. They need Jesus Christ. As we started to close out of this year, I was praying and I was asking God, and I was just seeking where God wanted me to go. And God put on my heart listening to His voice. And how many of us know that in very unique times and a unique day, listening to His voice and hearing it clear, it is the most important thing, more than anything. Because we have no idea what's going to happen next. God knows what's going to happen next. God knows what's going to happen in 2021. He knows what's going to happen all right till the end. He's got it all. But for us in this room, how many of us, we've seen life change so drastically in this year and how quickly things can change. And for many people who live in our world, there are still so many so afraid. And there's so many people who don't want to leave their house still. And they don't know what to do, and they don't know where to go. And should we move to Arizona? Should we move to Idaho? As people are moving like crazy because it's like, don't know what's going to happen in California. It's going to split off and go into the sea maybe, right? There's so many crazy thoughts out there. But as a Christian, I step back, and I have, you know, a wife, 5 kids, and a dog, which all are important, right? And I'm thinking, God knows what's going to happen next. And if something bad's going to happen, it's important that I'm listening for what He wants me to do. If I have to look after my wife and my kids and my dog, all who, again, are very important, it's important to listen to His voice. It's important to know what's going to happen next. If you have your Bibles, we are going to go to, wow, and I didn't even put it on there, sorry. It's going to be Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. I thought I did. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Nope, I deleted it, and I forgot to put it back on. Don't worry about it. Matthew 8:23. My title today is called Undetected. And actually, I shared this scripture 8 months ago, but we're going to be looking at it completely different tonight. Matthew 8:23. Jesus calms the storm. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with His disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke Him up shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." He got up and He rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey Him." Jesus heals Even the wind and waves obey Him. So as we start tonight to break down this story, and it's really important to really get into your mind the importance of seeing the moment. And you have the disciples, they're on a boat, waves are crashing over, and they're starting to freak out. It says, actually in the Greek, that without warning, the waves came up and the storm hit. Without warning. Without warning. Suddenly. All of a sudden. Unexpected. Without warning. How many of us would prefer, you know, if our house was going to get broken into tomorrow at 8 o'clock at night, how many of us would prefer to get that warning today? If someone was going to steal our ATM card and they were going to be able to pull out all of our cash, how many of us would like to get that warning before that would happen? If your kid was going to go to a friend's house and they were going to be sleeping over and there was going to be a bad accident, how many of us would prefer to get that warning before it happened? See, God does warn us every single day. God is warning us. There are so many warning signs that are out there today. God is warning His kids. But the challenge is sometimes we're not hearing the warning. We're not hearing the warning. Bad things are happening. Things are shaking. There's earthquakes. There's all kinds of things happening in our world. We're not hearing His warning. And in the story tonight, it says, with all of a sudden, unexpected, without a warning, the waves crashed. And for most of us, that's probably what this year feels like. It's been an unexpected year. It's been a just change. All of a sudden, we've had to change where we eat sometimes, where we go out to eat, our favorite places to go and to shop. All these different things that have had to change over this year without, for at least for us, most of us, without a warning, kind of like the disciples. So that the storm hit and the waves crashed over the boat. Totally, totally freaky experience. How many of us have been in a boat before? And I've never, no, we've been in a cruise boat in the Philippines, which was still freaky because there's like 3 million people. They like to crowd those boats. So there's 3 million people. And where Kim and I were staying in the bunk beds, there was like 5,000 bunk beds and there's like no personal space. So you're like, there's like three bunks high and they're all over the place. But imagine being in a small boat and imagine just cruising along. And this isn't a lake, right? It's not even the ocean. It's not where the whales and the killer sharks are. This is just in a lake. But in where this lake is, it's subject to winds and waves. And just all of a sudden, a little fishing boat, imagine all of a sudden the water is coming up and it's hitting you in the face. Have you ever been in that life-changing moment where you've thought, I may not make it. I might not make this moment. This has totally freaked me out right now. I know as a kid, one of those first experiences I can remember when I was 3 years old, we used to live in Ohio back in the day, and I climbed up on the roof, 3 years old, two-story house. My dad was a roofer at the time, and my nice dad left just a nice ladder just outside, nice shiny ladder for anybody just to climb on up, right? Thanks, Dad. And I guess, I don't even know why, but I decided I needed to climb up that ladder at three years old. Climbed up on the house, and I'm running around, and I can't even like picture, I don't remember what it looks like, but 3 years old, running around on top of the house, jumping up and down. My mom, who's downstairs, she's inside the house, and she's freaking out because she can't find her three-year-old son. I guess come to find out, I was a little bit of a wild, crazy kid. You know, I was definitely out there and a little rambunctious. So she's freaking out. She's probably calling the cops. Probably they didn't have cell phones back then, so they couldn't just call my dad and say, "Where's John?" You know. My dad comes home from work, goes up there, and here I am. Just I don't even know what I was doing. I guess just cruising around on top of the roof. That's a freaky experience. To think being on top of a roof, 3 years old, could have very easily slipped and fell, right? I've had a lot of those experiences in my life where I've just done really stupid things and been very crazy in my life, in my young life, and have had some definitely near-death experiences. And for these men in the boat, I can just see how they're sitting there. They're not expecting a storm. They're not expecting the waves. They're just going to the other side. And all of a sudden, very unexpected, all these waves started to crash and hit that. And they go to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, what are you doing? You're sleeping. We are drowning here. We are drowning." Have you ever been with a friend and they ask you that question? I just was asked this. I can't remember. I think it was from one of my kids. If you were going to die, would you rather drown or be burned to death? I know that for me, I just was asked that. I can't remember if it was Shiloh or Josh, but one of those lovely angels. But think about this for a second, that you were so consumed in this moment, just like these 12 men, that they really, literally felt like they were drowning. This is it. And they're screaming at Jesus, "What are you doing? We are going to die." And maybe they weren't just screaming at him because, you know, the water and the waves and all those. And maybe they were trying to wake him up because, hey, maybe they thought they were going to have to jump ship and do something different, right? Who knows? But there was a freaky moment and they're saying, "We are going to drown." And you think about drowning for a moment. How many of us maybe have never been in that situation in the ocean or a lake where you felt like you're going to drown? But how many of us have been in an emotional state where you felt like you're drowning? And how many of us, there are thousands and thousands of people in our world today who find themselves in a drowning state, lost, hopeless, sometimes emotions that just get out of control and out of hand, and it seems like all of a sudden I feel like I'm losing control. And that's exactly where they found themselves. Tonight I want to talk about a great enemy that all of us have, and I wanted to use this story to paint this picture. How many of us have heard that verse in Ephesians 6:12? We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. It's really hard to fight somebody, something that you can't see, right? How many of you have ever been in a spiritual moment where there's just something weird happening? Something weird, dark and weird. And I know when Kim and I went to the Philippines, we went from the island of Negros to a different island. And when we crossed over to this other island, it was a really bad place. And we got there, and as soon as you got there, you could feel and you can just sense there was a lot of evil, a lot of darkness in this place. Have you ever, let's not just say Hemet, you know, come to Hemet and feel that way, because Hemet is heaven, right? But have you ever been to a place where you got there and all of a sudden it's like, I don't feel safe right here. Where's my gun? Where's my pepper spray? Where's my taser? The great enemy that I want to talk about is not the enemy of the unseen world and the spirits and those things that can attack us and oppress us, but I want to talk about something a little bit different. I want to talk about an enemy that we do see. I want to talk about the enemies that we fight, the enemies that we are seeing every single day that become so overwhelming in our lives, in our kids' lives, and in our world today. There is so many crazy, crazy things out there happening today. How many of us love our eyeballs? How many of us love the two eyes that God has given to us? And it would be a massive, right, massive tragedy if we were to lose our eyes. It says in Matthew 6:22, which is really tiny up there. I'm glad I can see it right here. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light." The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And tonight as we talk about this great enemy, and it's the enemy in the things that we see, and it's kind of like the story that we're reading tonight in the picture of they were fighting waves, and they were fighting wind, and they were fighting this horrible moment. And for many of us, we feel like we're fighting so many different things that we see. How important are our eyes to everyday life, right? How many of us have learned up to this point in our lives, 35 years and 18 years of living, that you have to be careful what you watch? I can remember my friends when I was like, I want to say 7 years old and watching a scary movie for the first time. And I was freaked out of my mind. It was way back in, well, not way back in the day, just a few years back. But turning on, and my friends, they had hundreds of scary movies. And they put on movies that gave me nightmares for days. Because my parents didn't let me watch that junk. But that's what happens. You go to your friend's house, and all of a sudden you're watching scary movies, and people's heads are being cut off, and you're seeing blood or ketchup squirt everywhere, whatever it was, right? But as a little kid, you're thinking, this is horrible. But as a kid, that definitely for months changed the way that I live, and whether it's light out or dark out, and going to sleep with the light on, and can't be in the dark. It was so freaky, scary. Can't go in cornfields, and just all those different things as a kid that changed my life. For many of us, we've seen things that our eyes shouldn't have seen. For many of us, we have watched things that our eyes should not have watched. And in this verse here, Jesus says, your eye, it is the lamp of your body. It is the lamp of your body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And I wonder today, because how many of us, and I'm going to say this, that there is a lot of good TV out there that just isn't really good for us. It's not that it's bad, but there is so much just information that really does nothing for us at all. And how many of us, we have watched TV this year, maybe a little bit more because we've been home a little bit more, And just some of it's just not good. It's not good for our brain. It's not good for the way that we process. And how many people are more anxious today than they've ever been? How many in this year alone, people have run to the drugstore to buy things to calm themselves down, with liquor sales being just with all the things that are happening in our world, because we watch and we listen to the things that are just driving our minds crazy, so anxious, not knowing what's going to happen next. In social media, how many of us, I personally don't have an account, I know our church does, but social media, how many people scroll through social media and how much junk is in those accounts and how much junk are people posting? You know what's amazing to me with social media is that no matter where you go and no matter what you do, somebody is always watching. Somebody is always watching. Somebody's always watching, then what are you watching? What are you letting your eyeballs see? Because it's really, really, really important. And it's not just, you know, the nasty junk that's out there that our little kids can find. You know, when we were five, we definitely did not have access to some of those things. But five-year-olds today with tablets, the stuff that they've already seen at five is crazy, right? And it's horrible. But as adults, how many of us, and I'm not just talking about, you know, sex and pornography, just how much junk is out there? How much stuff do we watch? You think about the Ten Commandments for a second, right? God makes it simple, just 10, right? 1-0. He didn't make 1 million commandments, 10 commandments. But one of them about, you know, there's so many different things in there, but one of them talking about not wanting what your neighbor has. You take a step back, how many of us have not watched something in this week and said, I need that. I need that. I want that. How many of us haven't turned on the TV? My kids will turn on the TV or their devices, and they've got long lists of everything that they need to buy and they want for Christmas because they're seeing it right here, and it's, this is the best. This is the next new, you know, iPhone and this and that and the other. Why? Because we're so trained with our eyes. We're so trained with what we see. For some of us, we're wanting things that just aren't good for us, even things that are good. This is a great enemy today, to be careful of the things that all of us are watching, all of us are seeing. And sometimes what we have to do is we have to take a step back and we get a different view. There's a story in 2 Kings with Elisha and one of his servants. And it's this story where this is such an awesome story, where the Jewish people, every time there was about something bad that was going to happen, Elisha would give a warning to the king and they would get out of the way. And so for the king of Aram, he would get very upset. And what is going on? Who keeps spoiling my plans? I want to take these Jewish people and I want to take them captive. I want to kidnap them. I want to do all these things. But every time I go to do this, somebody is wrecking my plans. And so for Elisha, they find themselves, him and his servant, in a spot where they go to bed and they wake up the next morning and they're completely surrounded, completely surrounded. So the servant walks out and he's seeing army and men and all these horses and everything. And he's, of course, he's freaked out. And Elisha turns to him and says, hey, don't worry. It's going to be okay. It's just me and you, but those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And I have to think he pauses here for a second, because he has to look on the reaction of his servant's face. His servant, it's his servant and him, and Elisha, right? That's it. There's two guys. But it says they're completely surrounded. So everywhere you turn, the enemy is there. Everywhere you look, the enemy is all around. And he says to his servant, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. Those who are for us are more than those who are against us. I have to think he stops for a second and just pauses and he's watching the reaction of his servant, because the servant's probably looking around going like, okay, where are they? When are they going to get here? Do we have 5 minutes to run? Are we going to dig a hole and get under the ground? I have to imagine, you know, how fast our brains process sometimes. And Elisha's saying, okay, God, open my servant's eyes. And in 1 second, he opens his servant's eyes, and his servant sees the angels, this massive army, this massive heavenly army. And in 1 second, he just takes that deep breath and goes, it's all going to be okay. You know, for a lot of us today, for our friends, for our neighbors, they need a different perspective. They need a different view. And in this story, it's such a beautiful picture where we have to stop sometimes what we're watching, what we're listening to, and just say, God, give me a different perspective. Because what I'm listening, what I'm watching to, it's bothering me. It's freaking me out. I don't like it. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting angry. I don't want to talk about this anymore. There's a great story of Peter, one of our favorites. And if you have your Bibles, or if you want to look up here, Matthew 14:28. Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over to the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord. And I was thinking about this story. What if Peter did not freak out when he saw the wind and the waves? What if he continued to walk on the water? What if him and Jesus started doing cartwheels and they're walking and they're having an awesome time and they're high-fiving because there's no COVID and they're throwing the football, all kinds of fun stuff. I bet you the other 11 would have been like, if he can do it, yeah, and it's my turn now. It's my turn. I want to play catch with Jesus. But what happened because one guy became terrified of what he saw, he immediately began to drown. And I guarantee you those 11, when they saw him drowning, it's like, I ain't getting out of this boat. I am almost certain that all 11 were thinking about getting out. When they saw him walking for a second or a minute, when they saw that, I'm sure, and there had to have been a few thinking, it's my turn next, my turn. But instantly when they saw Peter, and this is Peter. He's the great one, right? Peter's the awesome, strong, buff. He is the, you know, if anyone's going to do it, it's Peter. As soon as they see Peter begin to sink, it's like, no. You know, as Christians today, God's asking us to walk it out. Because there's a miracle that's already begun. But for many of us, we see something and that miracle stops because of what we see. God's provided healing for so many people, and that healing has already started and it's already began inside of you. But then all of a sudden you see something or you hear something and you start to freak out and the healing stops. For people who are looking for provision, God has provided. God has opened a door. God has made a way. But in one second, in one instant, when we start to doubt, we start to question because of something we see, something we hear, instantly, it's gone. Peter had a great miracle for one second. He walked on water, but in one second he lost it all. For one second he lost it all. He had, and it's recorded. It's in the Bible. Such an amazing moment. God in with us in this room wants to do so many amazing things. He wants to use us to do great things to change our world today. But for many of us, sometimes we cut him short because of what we see. This is a great enemy in our world and in our life and in our homes today. There are things, and it's not that they're bad. There are good things. But good things are stopping us from his best. My title tonight's called Undetected. If you look it up in the dictionary, it means not detected or discovered. And I wonder in this year, in 2020, as we look around in 2020, how many things have not been detected in 2020? And I wonder in this year, how many of them have not been discovered? And I wonder for how many people who are at home and they're sad and they're lonely, how many people feel undiscovered in their heart and their minds and their soul? How many of us have been so stuck on COVID and what's happening with COVID, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, that it causes this undetection inside of us? And how many of us, honestly, we've been so stuck on the election and what is going on with the results and this and that this election has actually become a distraction from us just living and enjoying the moments that we live in? Because I can tell you honestly, for me, I get really frustrated when I turn on the news and I'm listening to all the junk that's happening. And it's like, you know, we're ready to go to war and battle because of all the horrible things that are happening out there with politics. But if we take a step back and we think of COVID and we think of the election and we look at hate this year and fear, how many things has God tried to do gone undetected because we're so stuck on what we see? We're so stuck on what we hear. Does God honestly want us to be so stuck on this year in 2020 and all the bad junk that's happened? I don't think so. And I think for a lot of us, we've missed out on a lot of great opportunities and a lot of awesome and amazing moments, but they've just gone undetected. They've just gone undetected. As we wrap up tonight, I've got a couple of verses we're going to read, and then we're going to sing our last song. 1 John 2:18 says this, "Dear children, the last hour is here. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. These people left our churches." Daniel, you can come on up. "These people left our churches, but they've never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us." This is 1 John 2:18. We're into 19 now. "These people have left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong with us." And then we're going to skip to 1 John 4:1, the last one. "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have, it comes from God. There are many false prophets in our world, and this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming in the world and indeed is already here." Stand with us. Tonight as we stand, I just want to ask, for many of us, we have been stuck on our great enemy, and it's the enemy of what we've been watching, and it's the enemy of what we've been seeing. And this year is almost now gone. We're at December 5th, 20 days from Christmas. Santa's coming. Wow. But to really think, could you think this year has, I mean, it's like one of the fastest years I've ever lived in my life. And how many wasted moments have I lived in this year? I have. I've wasted a lot of moments, just like all of us do. And we do because we get stuck on this great enemy of what we see. And it's in the TV, it's in the news, it's in good news. It's on good shows, Little House on the Prairie. It's awesome. That's a classic. But some of the things we're watching, you know what they're doing? They're really distracting us. They're really distracting us. You know what the sad thing is? You know what it's doing? It's stopping us from clearly hearing His voice. If tragedy is going to happen to you, it's not important to hear my voice. It's important that you hear God's voice. If something bad's going to happen to your family, it's not important what church you're going to. It's important whose voice you're listening to, and that's God's voice. It's really, really extremely important this year, as we end this year and move into the next, that we become more aware of what God is trying to say to us. Because I think that God has been shaking His church. I think God has been causing the Christian church and its foundations and our hearts and our minds, our souls. We've been clinging to so many different things. God has just shaken us, and so that everything that we cling to, that we let go until the only thing that we hold is Him. The only thing that we hold is Him. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows what's going to happen next week. God knows what's going to happen next year. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't listen to the TV. Turn it off. A little bit. A little TV. Because right now, as Christians, we have to come together and listen with a greater awareness of what God wants us to do. Let's pray.